prayer, the power behind the life and preaching of Billy Graham, part 3. Praying through the Bible, number 287. Let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. Luke chapter 6, verse 12. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Holy Father God, this is, as you know, an exciting day, a strange day, a day of celebration and a day of tears, as one of your choice servants, who is now home with you. And Lord, I know it's a beautiful situation up there. But down here, we are remembering the life that you blessed him to live. And strangely, interestingly, many of us who never knew him personally, knew him spiritually, if you will, Lord, and we break up in tears like we're his children or something. It is a strange phenomenon. But as I think about it, Lord, it is not about him. It is all about you and what you have done with his life. And to see him lie in honor today in a sin-cursed nation with not any protests, without any protests that I know of from atheists and agnostics and homosexuals and lesbians and this group and that group, is a testament not to Billy Graham, but a testament to how you use Billy Graham. Proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. And doing some things that he was criticized about for years, from the right and from the left. But he stood firm on your holy word that the gospel was for everybody. And through all of the hellacious attacks that would have destroyed the Constitution of other people, would have melted it down to the ground, you gave him the grace that assurance that only comes from you, that peace that passes all understanding, that joy that sustains us, for him, Lord, to stand in some of the most trying, dangerous times in the history of this country and, yea, the history of the world. No preacher crossed more lines, defied more rules for a good reason than this preacher. He was your representative. And Lord, most people who have sense realize he deserves these honors. Now comfort his family as only you can. We will never be able to preach like him, but we can remember how he preached, and that's what we will do today. And we pray still, based upon your holy word and upon the power of your Holy Spirit, that some lost soul would get saved, even from a secondhand sermon by your evangelist, Billy Graham. Glorify your holy name, lift up your holy son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and rebuke and bind the devil, his demons, and his hosts. Lord, from this meeting today, a meeting that we don't have the strength to do, a meeting that we are too excited to do, too moved to do, we don't feel our normal selves, but by your grace and by the power of your Holy Spirit, doesn't matter how we feel, Lord, all that matters is that we preach your word and glorify and lift up your holy name in your son's name, Jesus Christ. For it is in his name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, as you know, we are in a rather long series of messages simply titled Praying Through the Bible, a series on every passage and verse regarding prayer in the Bible. The purpose of this series is to encourage you to pray, challenge you to pray, exhort you to pray, and yes, if you will, motivate you to pray to the God of the Bible. We have highlighted each of these over 500 verses and passages in the Prayer Motivator Devotional Bible. So far, we have completed 286 messages in this series. This is message number 287, titled Prayer, the Power Behind the Life and Preaching of Dr. Billy Graham, Part 3. Today, by the grace of God, I will continue sharing with you from Billy Graham's message, Power When You Pray. Power When You Pray. Dr. Billy Graham went on to say, in this modern age, we've learned to harness the power of the atom, but very few of us have learned how to fully develop the power of prayer in our lives. We have not yet learned that a man is more powerful on his knees than behind the most powerful weapons we have ever developed. We have not learned that a nation is more powerful when it unites in earnest prayer to God than when its resources are channeled into defensive weapons. Amen, somebody. We have not discovered that the answer to our problems can be through contact with God in prayer. Jesus Christ died to make communion and communication with the Heavenly Father possible. He told us of the joy in heaven when one sinner turns from sin to God and from his heart breathes a simple prayer, God, be merciful to me a sinner. But Jesus set the example of prayer for us. Not a day began or closed in which he did not unfold his soul before his Father. It is recorded that he spent entire nights in fervent appeal and prayer. Yet how little perseverance and persistence in pleading in prayer we show. One man in Washington spent 17 years securing favorable action on a claim of $81,000 against the government. Yet many people today will not pray 17 minutes for the welfare of their own immortal souls or the salvation of other people. And we're talking about Christians. The nation's strongest secret weapon, its most powerful spiritual defense, can be prayer. Mighty leaders have not hesitated to bow down before God. It was reported that one could always point out General Washington, our first president, when he went to Congress in Philadelphia, because he always knelt in prayer. Amen, somebody. As we look at the prayer life of Jesus, Dr. Billy Graham said, we notice the earnestness with which he prayed. The New Testament records that he cried out with a loud voice, that in the intensity of his supplication, he fell headlong on the damp ground in the garden. He pleaded until his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood. Too often we use petty little petitions, oratorical exercises, the words of others rather than the cries of our inmost being. Too often when we pray, our thoughts begin to roam and we insult God by speaking to him with our lips while our heart is far from him. Suppose you were talking to the Queen of England. You would not let your thoughts wander for one moment. You would be intensely interested in everything she said. How then dare we treat the King of Kings with disrespect and disdain? Let us pray, beloved. Let us pray often. Let us pray fervently. Let us pray with attentiveness and respect. Let us pray in the power and name of Jesus Christ. Let's all stand in prayer. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for all of the sermons and messages that you gave your servant, Dr. Billy Graham. We thank you particularly for his messages and his exhortations on prayer, for he revealed to us the power behind his preaching and his life. And where he learned it from you, Lord Jesus, his Lord and Savior. And we pray that you'll help us to follow you, Lord Jesus, in the matter of prayer, to be men and women, boys and girls, of consistent prayer. Help us to obey your holy word that says you gave a parable to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And in another place where you said, pray without ceasing. Grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to pray without ceasing and to pray always. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. Now, beloved, if you are with us today and you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, which Billy Graham preached for many years and thousands of times to millions of people. As I told you, I believe that my dad, Bishop Daniel White Jr., got saved through the preaching of Billy Graham. Now, if you are with us today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, your first prayer needs to be what we call the sinner's prayer, as Billy Graham talked about, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. But first, please understand with me, dear friends, that you are a sinner, and so am I. And you have broken God's laws, and so have I. For the Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This is why the song you hear was sung and played thousands of times at Billy Graham Crusades, just as I am. That's how God wants you to come, just as you are, without one plea. Secondly, accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty for sin. There is a punishment for sin. Always, 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 for all people who commit sin. The Bible says, and we all are sinners. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We die physically because of our sins. We also die spiritually because of our sins. Our body goes to the grave. Our soul goes to hell if we don't trust in the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, as our Savior. And therefore, thirdly, Jesus Christ said, by the way, Jesus Christ was a hellfire and brimstone preacher, and Billy Graham followed in his footsteps. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hell is an awful place. Hell is forever, just like heaven is forever. Hell is a place of darkness. Hell is a place of fire and burning. Hell is a place of torment and gnashing of teeth in pain. Hell is a place of a painful memory. You do not want to go to hell. Rather, you should want to go to heaven to be with God in Jesus Christ. And that's why Jesus Christ came and died for your sins and for mine, so that you can avoid going to that awful place called hell. Because God, I don't know why he loves us, but God loves us. And as someone said today, I believe the President of the United States said today, that is what Billy Graham preached for so many years. God commanded him to preach that God loves you. We cannot recall the many times that God's servant Billy Graham said, God loves you. God loves you. Boy, I tell you, you think that would you would think that would be an easy message to get across. You would think that people would receive that as good news, but so many found it hard to receive that message. I understand, because I don't know why God loves me. I have no clue. We sang a song about that, written by Andre Crouch. But God loves us, and for some reason he wants us to be in heaven with him. However, we cannot go with sin not taken care of. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he died on the cross for your sins, for that is good news. Hell is bad news. Here's the good news for you. Jesus Christ himself said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," that includes you, "that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish," that is, perish where? In hell. "But have everlasting life." Where? In heaven with God. So just believe in your heart, dear friend, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him in heaven. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul, believing in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. For the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 13, that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believing in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, follow me in prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. I'm just leading you to Jesus as someone led me, and I'm glad to do so. Let's pray. Holy Father God, I come before you just as I am, without one plea, asking you to have mercy upon me, a sinner, and save my soul from a well-deserved hell. I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and I admit that I have broken your commandments by lying, by lusting, and by stealing, and by dishonoring my parents, and other sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, all of my transgressions, all of my trespasses, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, who I now believe is the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. That he died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and turn from my old wicked life and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Just as I am. Tink not in my soul of one dark blood to thee, whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Dear friend of mine, if you just trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, I'm happy for you. If you have just trusted him as your Lord and Savior, I'm glad for you. If you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, which I believe you did, because you wouldn't pray it if you didn't, I declare to you, dear friend, that based upon the Word of God that we read together today, you heard maybe for the first time, you are now saved from hell and you are now saved to heaven. Welcome to the family of God. Congratulations on trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've done the most important thing in life. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. And dear friend, God loves you. We love you. And may God bless you. Real good is my prayer.